Good evening. My name is Scott. I'm an alcoholic. Honestly, I love that, right? Because I love the sound of my own voice. So I was like, I'm going to hear myself a lot tonight. My wife's probably happiest here because she's heard my story, the really bad stuff, and she's heard me speak before. So happy birthday. Everybody took time. I could have listened to that all night, right? Because that's what it's about. You know, there's, you know, some important things to get out of the way. I have a sobriety date, 11-24 of 2013. I have a home group at Santee Men's. We meet every Wednesday night in Santee over by Santee City Hall. And I have a sponsor, and he is not here tonight. He's watching his wife speak up in San Marcos. He does know he's my sponsor. But I have some guys and some women here that do know me, so I'm going to try to be really honest. And my wife is here. Thank you, babe, for coming. You know, the truth is, I did not want to end up in Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, this is the last, when they say the last house on the block, it truly was for me. I can remember, you know, from a young age, right? Like, I drank differently and, you know, came from, you know, a good family. You know, I grew up in Lakeside. That doesn't make me alcoholic. Scottish, Irish, and German. That doesn't make me alcoholic. What makes me alcoholic is, if you haven't read that thing right there, it's called the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. There's a thing in there called the doctor's opinion. I see you guys are going, aha, I gotcha. See, that's what makes me alcohol. I read that, right? Because I was told my whole life, not my whole life, probably from the time 18 on until I get to Alcoholics Anonymous, you're an alcoholic. You shouldn't drink. Don't drink like that. Why can't you stop? But see, I would say things like, hey, Dad, I'm not an alcoholic. I go to work every day. Son, you're supposed to go to work every day. I don't have DUIs. You're not supposed to get DUIs. I don't beat my wife or kid. And he would be like, seriously? Stop taking credit for things that normal men do every day. But see, I didn't know at the time. See, alcohol was my solution. See, alcohol, to this day, alcohol was not my problem, guys. This is bad news for you guys. Alcohol wasn't my problem. Alcohol was my solution. And so if that's the problem, what was the problem the whole time? You're staring at him. This ruggedly handsome Scottish tattooed guy. Okay, I'm still working on the humility thing, all right? I'm still working on it. But the truth is, I was the problem the whole time. You see, alcohol saved my life until it almost took it. And you heard a gentleman say, right? I got way too comfortable with the taste of gunmetal in my mouth. I would wake up in the morning, and I do like powdered goods, and powdered goods just means cocaine, guys. I don't know, or whatever you want to call it, right? Drugs are a huge part of my story, but alcohol was there first, and alcohol was there last. And I got to Alcoholics Anonymous, and I was an andor. And my first sponsor said, I don't have a drinking problem. He goes, let's write out your drinking history. Got me into the steps, right? And I remember writing that down. He goes, I got an idea. Why don't we just take the 12 steps Alcoholics Anonymous as outlined in the big book and see if everything gets a free ride? See, but when I did, and I heard somebody say the dash, I think it was a Bob. See, I didn't know that. I get here, and I'm so different than any of you, right? And then I start hearing your stories, and you start nodding, and I start nodding my head. See, I swore I was going to be different than my family. I was never going to be like the men in my family, or at least like my dad, right? My parents were super young when I was born. I don't know, 15 and a half and like 19, something like that when I was born. I'm not going to have a kid early. First daughter was born when I was 17 years old. Wow. Wasn't off to a good start. And that little girl's born, and I am petrified. But I can't show you that. See, because from a young age, I always compared my insides to your outsides. I could never just be here with you. Most of the time, I had to be here. I had to look down on you. Not because I'm taller, but I never measured up. And I was never told I wasn't good enough. I put that weight on myself. And so I always thought I had to be better than, or the funniest guy in the room, most handsome guy in the room. All that stuff. But then alcohol starts coming in there, and I'm definitely the funniest guy in the room. Damn, for sure the best looking guy in the room. You see, that alcohol made it okay for me just to go, just breathe. Because I wasn't able to do that for a long time. So I had that first kid, right? And so Lakeside's the problem. Most of you wouldn't disagree with me on that one. Lakeside was definitely the problem, so I do like what any good alcoholic does. I leave California, and I'm going to join the military because I come from a military family, and I end up in Tennessee before I join, and I sign to go in the Navy. But unfortunately, guess who showed up to Tennessee with me? I did. I showed up, right? And I've got a few months before I go into the Navy, and, you know, I'm not going to do that other stuff, right? And then I start hanging out with people I like to hang out with, and I find people that like to drink the way I like to drink, and they have something back there called moonshine. I highly suggest you do not drink it. But then I start drinking with those guys, and then what happens when I start to drink? I know some things that can make me drink a lot more, and I can drink longer. And I only remember two phone numbers. There was no cell phones then at this time, guys. There was no, it was like no cell phones. And I remember two phone numbers, my grandparents' phone number and the Connect's phone number. So like any good, responsible, you know, father with a newborn, I called that Connect. I said, hey, can you FedEx me some stuff? He's like, I sure can. What the? That is insane thinking. And that's going to be a repeated theme in my story, is that the insanity, right? That it's going to be different this time. So I go in the military. I go there. I'm the guy that shows up to boot camp, and I fail my first test, which is your breathalyzer. It's not good. Not a good start. And I had a senior chief pull me aside and said, Mr. Gray, do you have a drinking problem? Every fiber of my being wanted to say yes, but I can't tell you that. Because those six dirty words, I don't know how to use at that time, and sometimes still hard today to say that, is I don't know, and I need help. Because you're going to look down on me. And I'm not going to give you ammunition because I got to be better, and all that stuff. And then I said, no, I just wanted to drink before I went to boot camp. Yeah. And when I get in there, I succeed. I work really hard, and I do the things I'm supposed to do. And I end up graduating second in my class. I get out of there, and I can pick anywhere in the world to be stationed. So I'm from here, so I don't pick San Diego. I pick Japan, I pick Norfolk, and I pick Bremerton. And I get stationed, San Diego. My uncle's the master chief. He's on shore duty here. My grandfather had already passed away. He was a chief warrant officer before. The captain of my ship was best friends with my grandfather. I was coming to San Diego before I even signed. And I get here, and instantly it's on. My own backyard. Well, I know how to drink. I know where to drink, and I'm from here. So I get deployed to go overseas, and they say don't go to certain places. I like to go to certain places. And I'll get the Marines to go with me because they're Marines. Come on, let's be real. You know, and but unfortunately, my alcoholism is progressing, right? And I'm doing things that I shouldn't do as a married man, and I'm a father on paper, husband loosely on paper. And I burn that career down, right? And I leave there and I get divorced. And oh, poor Scott. Once again, it's so sad for him, right? But alcohol is, I'm going to push through, right? And I land an amazing career. I start dating an amazing woman. I think I burned a relationship down before that. That was a real short stint. And, you know, I said I got engaged, and then my first sponsor told me, no, you just took her hostage. That is so accurate, looking back, right? And, you know, I didn't know how bad it could get, but I found out, right? The things that, you know, the pitiful, incomprehensible demoralization we talk about here, right? Waking up and my wife and kids are gone. That's not normal. Sheriff's coming to the front door. Not normal. My dad finding me, not knowing if I had to be resuscitated or not, ending up in the hospital thinking that I wanted to kill myself and I didn't. Mm-hmm. With the amount of alcohol and drugs in my system, they said it would kill an elephant. And all I was trying to do was just shut this off. Yeah. See, because right now my brain will go back to that one day, July 5th, 2002. I don't know. Just going to pick that date, but I'm pretty sure that was a good day. Plenty of booze. She probably didn't know about the cocaine. And it was a great day. I might have even got lucky that night. Maybe. But, like, it was okay. It was a good day. See, my brain will skip over all those catastrophic things I told you. Multiple trips to Mesa Vista, ER visits, strapped naked to the bed in the ER. With my wife sitting there. I remember it differently. I thought she was crying. She wasn't crying. Just saying, drink this charcoal so I can go into our kids. Wow. My mom, I recently, you know, saying, like, just let him up. And my wife's like, you do not let him up. right there. That right there, I'll skip over all of that and remember that one good time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's at the top of 24 in italics. It says, for reasons yet obscure, lost the power of choice in drink. My so-called memory becomes a little bit wishy-washy there, right? I will forget a week or a month ago. I'm without defense against that first drink. And I hate being powerless. I'm Scottish. Don't tell me I can't do something. But Bob said it, right? That first step, we admitted we're powerless over alcohol. I had some old timers pull me aside and goes, you know what that dash means? I'm like, no, I don't know what that dash means. You're going to tell me, you're going to yell at me. He says, end of a thought, beginning of a new thought. So that's two parts. I can admit I'm powerless over alcohol, but don't tell me my life's unmanageable. I got bad news for the newcomers. Welcome. My life is just as unmanageable today as the day I got sober. But you also heard it. I think everybody who came up here tonight, and congratulations to all our token takers, that is a long time to be sober. It was pounded in my head early into sobriety. Primary purpose and my reliance is to be upon God. And not the God that I saw in church, not the Catholic version, not the Hindu version, not the Buddhist version. No, it was, this is a spiritual program. This is not a religious program, right? And I was told that, and that's okay. I was just told there is a God and it can't be me because I played God enough. My first home group was Solana Beach Men's. They met up in Solana Beach. I didn't know AA was everywhere, so I would drive from like Santee to Solana Beach. Bull crap until I found out. I'm like, there's a meeting right next to my house. So no wonder my home group is literally 1 mile from my house. But I remember getting in like, and my first home group, they didn't say like things like, we can love you till you can love yourself. Hey, if that's your experience, I got nothing wrong with it. They said, you loved yourself enough. Look where it got you. Now go put a collared shirt on and get in the greeter line. This is way too dressed up for me, guys. This is like funeral attire, wedding attire, everything. This is super fancy attire. You know, when I ended up, when I woke up, you know, I had a little bit of time. I had my original sobriety date. You know, first time I really tried this thing was April 27th, 2012. I woke up that Friday morning. It was a beautiful day in San Diego like we have most our days, and I was broken. I was broken. And I remembered like months before that researching some treatment facilities, and I found one in Chiang Mai, Thailand. Hear me out. It had like private chefs and all this, and my wife's like, you are not going to Thailand for rehab. Whatever, Debbie Downer. So then I researched some more, right? And I found one like in Michigan, like Clarity Way. It was like a horse ranch. And like, I'm like, yeah. She's like, no. And she looked it up and she said, if you want to go to rehab, there's one right here. I married well, obviously. She had really good insurance. And it was Scripps McDonald Center at the time up in La Jolla. So you want to go to rehab, go there. And I wish I could tell you that Thursday night before that it was some horrific event, but it wasn't. It was probably a catastrophic event over months and months and months. And I woke up that morning, and I had plenty of booze, and I had plenty of drugs. I had plenty of all that stuff, and I still tried it. But it's crazy to be physically drunk, and my mind was completely still going, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. It did not work that day. Because alcohol will work on my body, but my brain will not shut off. And I tried many a times to shut it off. And I went to treatment. And I remember getting there, and instantly I'm different. I'm 38 years old. I was the oldest dude in treatment at the time. A bunch of little, like, this is just my story, guys. I got nothing against drugs. They're a huge part of my story. But, you know, but then there were a bunch of 20-year-old heroin addicts and stuff, and I don't relate or whatever, and I'm just, but I was broken just enough to listen. And I told me I had to get a sponsor if I wanted to have more phone time or whatever. And I don't know if anybody here knew my first sponsor. I still talk to him occasionally. He was younger than me. He was a crack addict. You know, he was a scumbag, all this. But when he spoke, I didn't know any of that, right? And he really polished up well. And so don't anybody fool you. I'm not polished up. This is it. And but I asked him to sponsor. I said, I need a temporary sponsor. And his response to me is, do you want to be temporarily sober? And I shit you not. I said, I think. I'm not the guy you bet on. I'm from Lakeside. I'm great at burning things. I'm gonna mess up. This isn't gonna work for me. I remember at an H&I panel, They said, look to your left, look to your right. One of you may be sober in a year. I remember going, man, one of these sons of bitches is going to be sober? Not me, right? I didn't think so. But once again, you know, my first assignment he gave me, because I'm really studious, I want to look good. He's like, tell me how you were late to gym. And he hung up on me. Well, in the big book, I don't want to ruin it for anybody, but there are multiple gyms in the big book. Did you know that? See, I missed the first gym that's really early in the big book. And I went to the black doctor from like the 40s or whatever. And I'm like, I said, how do I relate to a black doctor from the 40s? He's like, what are you talking about? He goes, how about the gym in the beginning of the big book? And I went, oh, that gym. He goes, did you read all the way through there? I'm like, yeah. He goes, wow. I didn't want to look bad. The first thing he asked me after that was, are you an alcoholic? I said, I don't know. He goes, why don't you read the doctor's opinion? Let me know. And I came back, and I remember sitting and going, oh, man, George, I'm screwed. I relate to every type. He goes, good, buddy, good. He goes, now we can do some work. You know, when I came out of that treatment center, I remember, like, he asked me, he goes, when are you getting out? You know, the inmate's getting released. So it's a Saturday, and he was like, what's your plans? I'm like, I'm going home. Yeah. Trust me, nothing was happening. Trust me. Delusion, right? 28 days sober. Isn't it grand the wind stopped blowing? Isn't life great? Delusional. And I said, I'm going to go home, spend some time with my wife and the kids and all this. And he goes, good. Have a collared shirt on, slacks on. I'll pick you up at 4:30. Pump your brakes, Turbo. I was on the curb at 4:30 with a collared shirt and slacks because I was just afraid enough that I knew I couldn't do this anymore, right? That meeting we would go to was, that was La Jolla Speakers when it was still La Jolla Scenic, right? That was a big meeting back in the day, right? And that was the first meeting they took us to. We called the druggy buggy. All of us piled in. I'm just shaking. I mean, it's Friday, you know, Friday treatment. Saturday night, I'm sitting there, and I'm vibrating. And I go in there, and they take us in there, and there's candies in all these seats. Well, I didn't know they use candy for seat savers. And I'm popping butterscotch candy like they're going out of style. The guy's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm eating candy. He's like, those are seats. I'm like, what are you thinking? You're just taking people out, and you're just setting me up. But I remember this gentleman, he's not here tonight, Jim A. And I see this guy in a suit like this. I'm like, who's this guy? Like the president of AA? And he gets up there. I'm like, oh, here we go. Right? I'm from Lakeside. I'm already judging all of you. And he gets up there and he says, I drink 5 types of alcohol. Mine, yours, more, free, and 87 octane. And I went, that SOB drank gasoline. He goes, twice. I went, oh. My ears perked up. And Jim's one of my best friends today. He's part of my home group, right? I tagged along with these guys. And, you know, I remember sitting with my sponsor in that really nasty Honda Civic that he had. It smelled like feet and cheese. Oh, so bad. And I remember sitting there, and I remember showing up late for step work one time. And I get there, and the daughter, the wife, and he goes, shut the, you know what up? He goes, why don't for once in your life take accountability for your actions? Nobody else's fault that you're late besides you. A little harsh, but it's the truth, right? Take accountability for my actions today. And I still can mess up, right? And I remember as taking through the steps, right? And the same thing, right? Get to the third step. And he goes, all right, let's get out of the car. Anything to get out of that car, thank God. But right there in front of La Jolla Speakers, he goes, all right, we get on our knees. And I'm like, whoa, what are we doing, brother? He's like, we're going to do the third step. He goes, nobody cares about you more than you, bud. And it was the truth. We sat there and did a third step prayer, and guess what happened? Absolutely nothing. Heaven didn't open up. God didn't go, oh, thank God Scott did a third step. Yay. We can have everybody clap now for Scott. No. Nothing happened. He goes, you're not that important. Let's go. You know what the third step gets you ready for? 4-step. But what does it say right there? It says we launched on a vigorous course of action. Says we didn't stop and think about it. It got me busy, you know. And same thing wrote out that 4-step, did the best I could at the time with the mental capacity that I had for the time, right? And you know, when he asked me when I did my 5th step with him, he goes, and we got done, he goes, did you leave anything off? Mm-hmm. Of course, I said no. But there were 2 things. There's two things I was never going to share with anybody. And I didn't. I didn't at that time. And I got just enough relief through those, and I felt like I was part of, and I was able to squash down those things I wasn't going to talk about, and just enough relief. And I get busy, and I get busy in Alcoholics Anonymous, and I start doing what you're doing. I start sponsoring guys, start taking commitments, doing all the things we do here, right? And I'll tell you how long that will last for you, for me, if I don't do that fearless and thorough four step. About a year and three quarter. And see, then I have a knee surgery, and I'm in much more pain than any of you. I don't know about you, but I like to crush and snort my medication and mix it with cocaine. But it doesn't say that on the prescription bottle, but that's what I just like to do. And then I heard somebody say, well, if you didn't drink, you didn't relapse. And I just went and got a bottle and tied it on. Uh-huh. If I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it right. Asked to leave the house, kicked out, and I'm sitting in my Jeep in a place where I had never drank before. My little sister found me. I still to this day, I don't know how she found me. And she goes, you've been kicked out? Oh, yeah, obviously. Good. She goes, you can come to my house, but you got to call your sponsor. Oh, crap. Laura was more like, boo-hoo, probably like that. And went to her place, and I called my sponsor at the time, and he listened to me boo-hoo for a few minutes, and he said, cool, I'll be there in a couple hours to pick you up. You have a commitment. See, because I had over a year sober, and I had got the coffee commitment for guess which meeting? La Jolla Speakers. Yeah. Nothing like showing up to La Jolla Speakers almost in a blackout with a one size, and I was much bigger at the time, like 100 pounds bigger probably, one size too small of a buttoned-up shirt, Dickie shorts, flip-flops, and a ball cap. I don't remember much of that night. I remember some guys drugged me up there. And by that time, I had switched home groups, and I remember they asked for newcomers, and welcome to our newcomers tonight. You never have to feel the way you're feeling again right now. But there's some actions you got to take. And I remember standing up and saying, my name's Scott, I'm an alcoholic, and I don't know what to do. And I thought for sure, this is my ego and pride again, I thought I'd be the first one kicked out of AA. if you knew, right? And they're going to stand up and they're going to laugh at me. And you know what? None of that happened, guys. That was all in my head. The men and women that came up to me afterwards, actually my current sponsor, said, how can we help? What can we do? Because one thing we don't do around here is we don't shoot our wounded. We just don't. You know, today I got to go to a celebration of life of a 31-year-old. I watched for the last 5 years coming in and out of our home group. I got to shake that young man's dad's hand and hug his mom. And there's about 30 of us that came from our home group and to be there with that family today. And that's the stark nature of alcoholism, folks. My uncle passed away when I was 3 years sober, and I remember Dave G. pulled me aside, and I was mad. I was mad at God. I was mad. I was like, why? Why? And he said it really simple. He goes, Scott, some of us have got to die so some of us can live, and we don't get to pick and choose. See, I quit saying I don't know why I'm sober today, because if I don't know why I'm sober, why am I standing up here doing this? I know why I take the actions. God gives me the grace. If I told you everything that I've gone through in the last 6 months to a year, you're like, how is that man even sober today? Because my go-to answer for everything was alcohol. I need to run. I need to cut ties. I need to make sure I burn that bridge so bad it will never be built ever again. And none of that has entered. The thought of alcohol or drugs has not entered my mind through whatever I've been going through. And I'm not terminally unique. I'm a garden variety alcoholic with Scott's story. So we got back into the book with that sponsor, my new sponsor. And when we got to the fourth step, right, I knew I had to get it out. I knew I had to get it out, right? And I wrote, everything down. And we sat down with my sponsor, and he goes, hey, is there anything you're not telling me? And I just turned the page, and I handed it to him. He goes, nope. Read it. And I read it, right, a abridged version of events. I became part of, and Santee Men's has been my home group the whole time since then, right? And I've been blessed to have a lot of great men and women in my life, but I've been able to walk through a lot of stuff, right? To be a father today, I get to be a sober pop-pop, 5.8 grandkids. I don't know. We got five, and we got two more on the way. We got one due any day, and another one due August. You know, I told you I went to that service for that young man today. Then I came home, you know. But before that, I got to take my grandson out today. Throw him in the cart, take off, go get donuts, watch him be a little terrorist, right? Just doesn't give a crap, four-year-old, and just sitting there. I could have lost all that. I could have missed out on all of that, guys. Big man upstairs has got a bigger plan for me. You know, and I got back into the steps, and I did the best I could again, right? And, you know, for me, that primary purpose, you know, because my primary purpose on this earth, and this may bristle some people the wrong way, and this is my story, folks. It's not to be a good husband. It's not to be a good father, good business owner, good son, good grandson. My primary purpose on this earth is to stay sober and help another individual achieve sobriety. If I do that to the best of my ability, like saying yes to things, thank you, John, for having me speak and participate in my own sobriety, right? Because this isn't my best idea to come do this. But I also told I don't say no to AA request. Any good reason? Nope. Right? Primary purpose, if I do that, then I get to be a good husband, a good father, a good business owner, a good all the other stuff, right? But it all starts with primary purpose. And I'm glad that I had some, you know, some old timers pull me aside and just, I don't know, we call it old school AA, right? But it's AA. It's just what I was shown. I wasn't shown anything else. When they said, this is what we have to offer you, it's the 12 Steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. It's in the book, right? The 164 with, you know, with Dr. Bob's nightmare, right? That's our solution. It's right there. Not my opinion. My opinion will get you drunk and dead. My experience may help you. My experience may, you may be late, and if you're, you know, bobbing your head, I remember, I just, time and time again, I would swear, you could put me up to a lie detector, I'm coming home in my Super Duty, coming down Mass Boulevard, I'm not going to drink. And the alignment, for some reason, into Mr. Liquor. Now, before I even get out of the truck, I turn off the truck, and I can go, now, wait a minute. How do I get that relief before I even put that substance into my body? My brain knows what it's going to get. See, I had to learn the difference between what an obsession is and what a craving is. We have that threefold disease, folks. That's what I have. Right? And so I would say, oh, I'm, you know, I've got a craving. And my sponsor was like, do you know what a craving is? No. Well, learn. I had to learn what that was. I can't crave it until I put it in my body. Now, I can obsess over that. I can obsess like you wouldn't believe over something. Okay, this time's going to be different. I'm only going to have half the bottle. Okay, I'm only going to drink a quarter. Okay, I'm already drunk. Okay, I'm going to get really good and drunk. Like she didn't know, like, six near beers, you know, six O'Doul's. And why are you so drunk? I don't know. It hit me kind of harsh, six O'Doul's. I wasn't fooling anybody, right? Only person I was fooling was myself until I couldn't do it anymore. I didn't know you could brush your teeth for so many years and not even look yourself in the mirror. Crazy today, right? You know, I talked about a little bit, you know, recently, you know, there's been some stuff in my life, right? And I've had to work through some stuff, right? And I had to really write a really thorough inventory. Over 12 years sober, still got to do this stuff, right? You take that four step, but you write inventory for me. And I wrote a really fearless inventory, and I did not want to share it. But also, I didn't want to get comfortable with the taste of gunmetal again. See, because alcohol and drugs, like, God will not let me drink or do drugs ever again, probably. But he's like, but do you really want to do that? See, I can burn it down real easy. See, and I don't get to blame the drunk Scott for anything today. It will be the sober me that does that. It'll be the sober me that says, I don't want to tell you what's really going on inside with me. I don't want to tell you how I really feel because I'm scared. I don't want to do that. But I did it. And I wish I could tell you that, like, God stopped everything after that Sunday morning men's group that I go to. And I wrote that. I read that inventory to my sponsor. And he's like, oh, no. But there were some tears, right? And there was a lot of relief that came from it. And he looked at me and he goes, there's got to be a big God working in your life for you not to share that thoroughly over 12 years. I don't suggest anybody in this room, if you have not taken the 12 Steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, you've already heard, do not blame AA for what you haven't done yet. Because it's like somebody else's fault. I'm always good at blaming somebody else for other things. And I'm accountable for my actions today. Right? And I shared that stuff and got the relief that I needed to get. Right? And all I heard again was like, okay, now God's in my head. God's like, back to work. No days off. No days off. I don't get to take slack. Well, I woke up this morning, and this is just me, right? Like, I wake up every morning, and I hear people say untreated alcoholism. No, I treated it before I went to bed, and my first thoughts aren't always the best thoughts in the morning, but my second one, I'll get there sooner or later. I wake up in the morning, and my scorecard, this is the way I like to look at it. My scorecard's negative, and not in a bad way. I got work to do. Prayer, meditation, call guys, take some phone calls, pray with my wife. You know, we do things together. We do some readings. I get to have that day, right? So throughout the day, I could have the most amazing day like today, right? Took my grandson out, went to a funeral, come back, have dinner with the wife, come here, get to speak with you guys. I could have saved like a village of puppies and all this stuff. You just imagine the best day ever, right? And the best tonight that my scorecard is going to read is going to be even tonight. I don't get extra credit. That just does not work for me, because I get extra credit. That means tomorrow, guess what? Maybe I'll just take tomorrow off. Like, I don't get it when I hear somebody say, I haven't prayed in weeks. I'm like, what the? I don't meditate. What? That was step 11. It was pounded early into my response said, you need to start praying and meditating now. I said, hey, I can read. That's all the way down there. He goes, you're sick. You need a God, and you better start now. Because it says sought through prayer and meditation, not I got to think about it. I'll think about meditating. An old timer pulled me aside and goes, Scott, the only wrong way to meditate is to not meditate. That's it. And that, for me, that's tonight, right? I'll be able to put my head on the pillow and I'll be able to fall asleep. I ever wanted. And along with this, I remember, like, and from a young age, before I even started drinking, my brain was always just do, always. And I'm freshly sober, and I'm going down to watch my son play football by myself. I was supposed to be a sober buddy. He backed out. Wife wasn't going to El Centro. And so I'm driving by myself, and I was listening to a speaker CD, Adam T. from Vegas. I relate to Adam. If you ever listen to Adam T., he's got energy like me. He goes. I'm like, I like this guy. But I remember, get to the bottom of the grade right there as you get down the grade on 8, and the CD ended. And I didn't reach for my cell phone. I didn't reach for the radio. I didn't turn the windows down. And I don't know if you guys ever drove that stretch of road from there to El Centro, the rest stop. It's about, I don't know, 18 miles or whatever. And it was quiet. And it was quiet between my ears. And I remember pulling, and it was like, it went by like, it was just a glimpse of time. And I remember pulling into that rest stop. I'm like, what the fuck was that? And I call my sponsor, George, this just happened. He goes, it's called serenity, jackass. Don't get used to it. And he hung up on me. I can just tell you right now, I don't get a lot of that, right? My brain still goes 100 miles an hour. But what I have today is, I don't know about you guys, but when I woke up this morning, I didn't come to. My first thought wasn't, where's the bottle hidden? Is the baggie, can I get it out before she wakes up? That wasn't my first thought. And if that was yours too, you're overpaid in Alcoholics Anonymous. Thanks.
We do appreciate you, Scott. And we'll hear the other stuff, half of your story, on another night, I'm sure. Okay, I would like to thank Scott for speaking tonight, so please come back soon and visit us. I'd like to thank the residents of the house and the Women's Auxiliary for the dinner tonight that I like too. Great, okay. We will now close in the usual manner and pray for our... will you lead us out, Scott, please?
Get in here, Cam.
Your daughter too.